Are you guys glad to be in the house of God this morning? It's gonna be good, I tell you. We're in a series called Baggage. This is part three, and we're gonna talk about baggage or worry. One of the biggest problems in my life, and I know in many of your lives, is the baggage of worry. It attaches itself and won't give us any peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop worrying. And then ask him how. How? Tell me how, okay? Amen. Well, this is going to be a two-part series, so I'm telling you right away, we're not going to get done. But it's going to be good. We're going to talk about how to get rid of this baggage called worry and anxiety. I'm going to try to explain what it is as well, so you can understand it better. One of the demons in my life is worry. I just got to tell you that right away. And God has been teaching me, and I've been fighting it for a long time, and I still worry. If you are a high control person, you're going to worry a lot. Amen? If you're A-type personality, you're probably going to stress out and worry and be anxious a lot. But the truth is this. God understands what worry does to us, to our physical body, to our joy. Did you know that as a Christian, God has certain amount of joy? It's like over here. And then Satan says, well, if I can't make him sin, if I can't make him talk about his neighbor, if I can't make him steal money from his boss, guess what I'll do? I'll make him worry. And he'll stab you with this dagger of worry inside of your mind, inside of your heart. And guess what? It steals your joy. And then you're not a Christian you want to be. You're driving, somebody cuts you off while you're worrying. And guess what? You go, what? And then you're like, I hope they don't go to my church. Amen. Worry is a thief in your life. Okay, it wants to steal, kill, and destroy. It wants to destroy your relationship with the child, meaning your child comes in, Dad, you want to play? No, I'm too busy. What are you doing? Worrying. Dad, you want to play these Nerf guns things? No. What are you doing? Worrying about my sermon this Sunday. I can't. Right? And so worry steals our life. Worry is a thief. Write this down. Worry is a thief. I heard about this story. There was one day Death was walking towards the city. A man stopped Death and asked, what are you going to do? The angel of Death said, I'm going to kill 10,000 people in your city. The man says, really? I got to go tell everybody. So he runs ahead and tells everybody and says, angel of death is coming and he's going to kill 10,000 people in the city. At the end of the day, angel of death meets this man again. And this man says, hey, what happened? You said only 10,000 people are going to die, but in actuality, 70,000 people are killed. The angel of death said, I killed only 10,000. Worry and fear killed other 60,000. That's what worry does. It kills. Gives you ulcers. It takes your peace of mind. And then I believe Satan loved chaos in your life, in my life. And that's where he breeds. That's where he breeds, in the chaos, in the worry of our mind. And God wants us to be delivered from it. Amen. Amen. I'm tired of worry. I hate worry. I don't like it. I want to get rid of it. Amen. So what is worry? Worry comes from a German word named Wurgen. Wurgen. You know what that word means? If you're German, if you're Wildebohr. It means to strangle or to choke. Our word worry comes from a German word, Wurgen, which means to strangle or to choke. Isn't that what the devil likes to do, is to choke life out of you? Everything is good. Your bills are paid and you're still worried about money. Here is a little secret to those of you who are still worried about money today. You think if I had enough, I wouldn't worry. But many of us who already have our money under control would say, even if you had more than enough, you'd still worry about it. Worry is a thief. Worry is a liar. Okay? It's a liar and a thief. Even if you have money, it will still tell you, but what about retirement? But what about if the economy tanks? What if Hillary is elected? Or what if Trump is elected? I know you're stressing out about that. So I was going to address it. I was going to tell you this. That although you want your person to win and I want my person to win, because as a citizen of the United States, I have somebody I'm kind of going to vote for because I have no other option. All right? And same with you. You're going to vote for somebody because you have no better option. But even if my person doesn't win, and I'm not going to say guy or girl, if my person doesn't win, listen, I know Jesus is still in control. Listen, Christianity survived communism. Yeah, 70 years of communism. So Christianity survived Stalin. Christianity survived Hitler. Christianity survived the Chinese guy. What's his name? Pol Pot. I don't know. Christianity survived Nero. Christianity survived Muhammad. Christianity will survive Trump or Hillary. Will survive. Now, some of us might get killed, but God is still in control. You can't help it. You can't help it. And I kind of figured if I get killed, I want to go quick. And I want to be with Jesus. Well, I know where I'm going to be. So I'm. That's not what I'm worried about. Amen? But you will survive. So don't put your trust in politics. I remember in 2008 how people were just like, I have goosebumps when Obama speaks and he's going to change the world. He's going to be the savior. He's just a man. Doesn't matter how much you love him, he's just a man like you and me. And the solution will come, you know when? You know when there's going to be peace in the world? I'm going to just tell you what the Bible says. When Jesus rules and reigns on the earth as a shepherd for 1,000 years. That's when there's going to be peace. That's when there's going to be racial harmony. That's when there's going to be no sin. That's when there's going to be no disease, no death. You will live in peace. Until then, every human imposter who claims to fix all your problems, they mean well. But even when they're running, they don't believe everything they say. So don't, this Tuesday, when somebody else wins, not who you vote for wins, who is in control? Jesus. King Jesus rules. And guess where your citizenship is? Heaven. Bible says we're ambassadors here on earth. We represent kingdom of God, but our citizenship is in heaven. So whatever happens in this country, well, we'll deal with it. But Jesus is my king. And I hope Jesus is your king. So don't get a heart attack on Tuesday. Don't bite your fingers off on Tuesday night. Don't go to psychiatric hospital on Wednesday morning. Don't let them put you in a straitjacket. Don't let them do that. Come on. Who are you putting your trust in? Trump? Hillary? We know who they are. Everything we know. They're sinners. And sinners sin. There you go. There you go. Although I want my person to win. I still do. I got that human in me. I want my person to win. I'm not going to say who. Amen. So worry is to strangle or to choke. Are you being choked today by your worry? Are you being strangled by your worry? I know I am a lot in my life. I am. My wife, I feel like she just doesn't worry. She just always chills. And I'm always like uptight. And the things I worry about don't even matter. Like yesterday, what I worried about, today I don't even remember it. Because it was an emotion that stole my day. From my God, from worshiping and giving Him glory, from my children, from my wife, from my friends. I was sitting in my room, watching TV, checking Facebook, make sure the world doesn't go bad, and worrying. And God says, I have come to give you life
to the fullest. In my life, worry is a baggage I want to get rid of. And in your life, I got to tell you, worry is a baggage that you want to get rid of. In Greek, worry means merimeno. It means to divide the mind. It divides your mind. Fear divides your mind. You're not single focused, you're scattered focus. You're divided. You start being suspicious. You start being fearful. You start just living in this low existence. That's not where God wants you. God wants seated us in high places. You are the head and not the tail. And when you worry, you're the tail. Whatever man thinks in his heart, so he is. Okay. Now, let me explain a little bit about worry, the science maybe. Or maybe this is going to be a little philosophical because I'm not a scientist. I'm more, you know, as a preacher, we think deep. We think philosophically more, theologically, but not so much. But science proves philosophy somehow, in most cases. Okay, worry is an attempt to anticipate and prevent bad things from happening to us. Isn't it true? Worry is an attempt to anticipate and prevent bad things from happening to us in the future. But here's the problem. The problem is that most of us, all of us, don't have psychic or telepathic powers. We can't move or change things with our mind or our emotions. Quiet. Too philosophical, maybe. Worry is an attempt to anticipate and prevent bad things happening to us with our mind or with our emotions. We use our emotions to anticipate and hope. We use our emotions to prevent something from happening. The problem is most of us don't have psychiatric powers or telepathic powers to move things with our mind or our emotions. Your emotions cannot change the future. Even if you could, you're not in control. For you high control people, this is bad. You're itching. That's why worry is powerless and useless. Have you ever tried to move a spoon with your brain? There is no spoon. Okay. Who's preaching here? But thank you anyway. I love when you talk with me. Yeah. Have you ever tried to do something like that? Maybe I have powers. When you were a kid, right? Maybe I have superpowers. Maybe I'm a doctor. What is that doctor that has that superpower in X-Men series? Brain, whatever. Yeah, let's call him Brain. And he could just like move things. Well, guess what? You don't have that power. Pastor, I have that power. Come talk to me after the service. We're going to pray for you. God is going to use that power. But you don't, really. Guys, we don't have the power to move things, to change the future, to make our future better. We live in a world that has certain insecurities. You're not in charge. Jesus says this, don't worry about tomorrow because each day has enough worries to worry about. Why don't you focus on today and tomorrow on tomorrow? But I'm going to talk about next week. Okay? But the problem for most of us, we don't have that power. So whenever you are worried, just tell yourself, I'm trying to change the future. I'm trying to get more money in my bank. By worrying. It's not going to happen. I don't have that power. So I need to stop worrying. I'm not the brain out of X-Men series, Marvel series. Savior? Okay, thank you. Some of you Googled it already. Thank you for your correction. Appreciate that. That's why worry is powerless. Listen to me. Somehow you have to accept and believe that worry is powerless. It's useless. If I had to quit my message and go to communion, I think this would be a good spot. You don't have the power. Brain power, emotional power to move things, to change things. So you just gotta surrender. Listen, you're not powerful, all powerful, and all controlling. God is. For some reason, He didn't give you that power. But there's one who says, if you worry, you could be like God. Remember what He said to Eve? If you eat of this tree, you could be. Oh, He always tells us we could be like God. We already are like God, but there are some things God withdrew from us. He says, I didn't give you that ability. Only I have that ability to change the future. So trust me. See, worry and trust and faith goes all together. Now, what makes us worry? What makes us worry? Write this down. The things that you are most devoted to are the things that will determine what you worry about. Some of you are not writing down yet. The things that you are most devoted to are the things that will determine what you worry about. Let me explain. Some of you look at me. What do you mean, Pastor? Your devotion, your worry. Let's read Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, don't go to verse 25. Not yet, but I'm going to tell you what verse 25 says. It says, don't worry. It says, don't worry. Don't worry. So watch this. Jesus says the thing you are most devoted to are the things that will determine what you worry about. For example, you guys love examples, right? Amen. What are you devoted to? Do you know that, and I don't want to sound bad as a pastor, because I love you, right? But I just want to tell you something. I never worry about your job, ever. Not that I don't care. Not that I'm not concerned. If you will come to me and say, Pastor, I lost my job, I'm not going to say, I don't care. That's not what I mean. I love you, right? But I don't worry about your job. Think about, do you worry about your neighbor's job? Oh, you're such a good Christian. But mostly, we are concerned. We care, but we don't worry. We don't choke ourselves to death saying, my neighbor doesn't have a job. I'm gonna die. Emotionally, I'm talking emotionally, right? You don't do that. I don't think you worry about me. If I will have a job tomorrow, you're concerned. You want me to be the pastor, but listen, I'm not worried. Why? Because I'm not devoted to your job. I'm not. Can I push it further? I am never, ever, ever worried about your kids' grades. Not that I don't care. If you came to me and said, Pastor, my kids have bad grades, I would say I'll pray for your kids. But I'll be concerned. In a couple of weeks, I'll ask you, how's your kids doing? But I don't worry about it. I don't go losing sleep about it tomorrow. I can't believe it. The kid got an A minus or B plus, right? I do care, yes, but I don't worry, okay? I don't worry about your retirement, guys, ladies. I don't worry about your retirement. Do I care? Yes. And you don't worry about your neighbor's retirement. Are you concerned? Yes, but you don't worry. Amen? I'm not worried if you're going to get married. Now, do I want you to get married? Yes. I believe everybody at New Life will be married. Because God, that's what God said. It's not good for a man to be alone. So God is going to make not good thing a good thing. But just make sure they're a Christian. Amen. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, then don't marry a Christian. If you're a non-Christian, marry non-Christian. If you're a Christian, marry a Christian. But if you're a Christian, don't marry a non-Christian. It's not going to work. Okay, just telling you. Some of you are like, I'm a bad guy or I'm a bad girl, but I'm going to marry this nice Christian boy. You're going to make him or her a bad Christian boy or girl. So don't do that. Anyway, let's keep going. I'm not worried
about what people think about you.
Am I concerned?
Just think about it. Are you worried what people think about your neighbor? If somebody comes to you and honestly says this, listen, I'm so scared because I think people are thinking bad about me. I think they don't like me. You would say, what? That's the last thing that would come to my mind about you. You would say, are you serious? You're the best person. I know. You're the nicest. You're always fun to be around, whatever. You're a nerd and you can fix my computer. I don't know, but see, what you're thinking about yourself is not what I think about you. And what I think about myself is most likely not what you think about me. So I'm not really worried what people think about you. But I am worried sometimes late at night what people think about me. You see, worry is a lie. Worry is a thief of time, emotion, energy, and worry is a liar. I'm not worried about your business. Now, I hope it goes well. I hope you're blessed and you tithe. Actually, that's your responsibility as a Christian to tithe, right? But I'm not worried about your business. Now, do I care? Yes. I'm not worried about your possession, your mammon, your stuff. Do I care? Yeah. But I'm not worried. I'm not going to be living. I'm not worried about your spouse. My spouse is going to leave. My partner is going to. I'm not worried about it. Do I care? Yes. I'm not worried about your future. Why? Because I know God is in control. But am I worried about my future? Yeah, a lot. Too much. I'm not worried about your health. But am I worried about mine? I'm not worried about your home or your car. But am I worried about mine? Somehow, I falsely believed that if I worry about my roof not leaking, that in 10 years, somehow I could stop it from leaking. Now, there's the difference between concern and worry. If I let my 4-year-old daughter drive my truck, I should be worried. But if I train my son to drive and I did my best, I should be concerned but not worried. Worry has no place in our life. And notice, if Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, why don't you worry about your neighbor? Because you think it's stupid to worry about your neighbor. Now, do you care? Yes, but you think it's stupid to worry about your neighbor. You never worry about your neighbor. Are you concerned? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. So why don't you do that to yourself? Why don't we do that to ourselves? Is this big or what? Thank you. It's huge. Amen. Worry is tied to the things that I am most devoted to, and that's me, self. You worry a lot? It's because you love yourself too much. Now, it's good to love yourself, but you love yourself way. You worry about, it's all about you. That's why when we worry, we forget about other people. I meet somebody in a store, but I'm all worried up. And they say, hi, Pastor. And I'm like, oh, hello. Self, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? Are my children going to be Christians? Is my wife going to stay? Or is she going to, you know, and you just worry about the things. You think by worrying you can change the future. But God says you're not in control. Can we get it in our head that we're not in control? We do our best, right? We try to save for the future. But after we've done all we can, we got to let God be God. He's in charge. He's in control. So what Jesus is teaching us is that things we worry about reflect on our core devotion. So much of us worry about how to do with losing what we have. For example, we worry about our health. We worry about our happiness. We worry about love, wealth, power, status, wisdom, freedom, independence, support, life. How long we're going to live? What is that? Span of our life, yes. Ultimately, we worry about life itself. Am I going to die? But as a Christian, Paul says it's better for me to leave this body and be present with the Lord. But for now, while I'm here, I gotta serve you and be about you, not about myself. not about myself. So he says, don't worry about your life. And that's what we're going to talk next week, about how to fight worry. And we're going to talk about prayer and things like that. But we got to let go of this baggage. God wants us to let go of this baggage of worry. Let me ask you a question. What if you shifted your devotion? Remember, worry is because we are devoted to something. And put that last verse on the screen. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. Based on your worry, what are you devoted to? God or stuff? And the answer for most of us is stuff. And so today I repent and I ask you to repent. Say, God, forgive me because I put stuff and made stuff my boss. See, there's a war going on between who is going to be your boss. Is it going to be your stuff? Is it going to be your possessions? Is it going to be what you have? Or God will be your boss? There's a war going on. You can't have two. You will be devoted. And based on my worries, I could tell you that I love my stuff. And I know as a Christian, I was taught to say I like my stuff. No, let me be honest with you today. Many of us love our stuff. That's why it's hard for us to give. That's why it's hard for us to be generous, because we love our stuff. I'm not beating you up. I'm yelling at myself right now, as you can hear me. I'm yelling at myself because I'm tired. I want there to be one person who I love, and that's God, my Father, our Father, not my Father, our Father. Remember, he taught us to pray our Father, not my Father, because it's common. He's common. Amen. So I want to be devoted to God. And so today, if that's the cry of your heart, just in your heart, say, God, forgive me for loving other things. And anything we love other than God and put in the place of God, it's called an idol. I'm an idolater. Can you say that about yourself? I'm an idolater. God, forgive me. Before I take communion, we're going to take communion. We're going to say, God, I'm an idolater. I love my job. I love my money. I love my stuff. I love everything above you. I don't even think about you. The only time I think about you is as my last resort. God, I want to stop doing that. I want to stop putting other things ahead of you and making them idol, which makes me an idolater. I don't want to do that. Holy Spirit, I want you to be my thoughts every day, every morning, every night. Even in the nighttime, David says, I think about you and you heal me, you restore me. Worry steal. Holy Spirit restores. When you're sleeping and you're worrying, it steals. You wake up, you're tired. But when you allow Holy Spirit to come in, He will heal you, restore. David says, He restores my soul. I need my soul to be restored, somebody. I need my inner soul to be restored. I am tired. You say that to yourself. I'm tired. God, restore my soul. And I believe today, Holy Spirit is working in this place. This is not just a little sermonette on worry. I ask Holy Spirit to do what I can do through this message. Is to heal your soul. Restore your soul. Give you strength on the inner man. Hallelujah. What if we shifted our devotion from what we worry about to the one we should focus on, and that's God? You cannot serve both. And if you worry today too much, repent. That's number one. He says in the beginning of every message, Jesus preached, or disciples preached, or John the Baptist preached, he would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number one step is, God, forgive me for worrying. We talk about sexual sins. We talk about a drug addiction, alcohol addiction. But what about a sin of worry? Most people in the church struggle with this sin. And we don't even mention it. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Now, did you know that number one worry in America is money? So Jesus, see, as it is today, so it was 2,000 years ago. At 31 A.D., or Common Era, C-A, whatever, anyway. Just as we struggle with worry, so did they. And I believe The reason Jesus talked a lot about worry, and most of the, I think all of the Gospels report on something about worry, is because his disciples struggled with worry. Imagine 12 guys had to leave their homes. Peter had a wife and a mother-in-law who lived with him. Peter had a small business. Maybe it was seasonal, maybe whatever, but I know he had a small business. He was a fisherman. James, John, Andrew, they're all businessmen. Matthew was a tax collector. He was a businessman. Come on, somebody. And so these men and women are following Jesus, and although God is with them, they're still worried. I don't think Jesus was telling this message. Put next verse, 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have food to drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Stop there. I think he was talking to Peter, the guy who walked on water with him. Guys, I think he was talking to John. Remember that scripture where they said, we left everything. What's going to happen to us? Well, what are you going to do for us? What is that? That's worry. Are we going to be better off because we left what we had? James and John had a striving, growing business. Peter had a growing business. He loved what he did. You know, usually small business people, they love what they do. Come on, right? Small business people, you love what you do. You could be a workaholic because you love what you do. And plus you work for yourself. So you work harder. But I think Jesus would be walking and they would be worried. What is my mother-in-law doing there? Thought Peter. I think she's taking over my house. What is she saying to my wife, Mary? I think all of them were named Marys, you know, in those days. Or Maryam. And so I think she's... And you know what mothers-in-law do? What is he doing following that rabbi? Where is he? How come he's never home? Where is he at? What are they doing? I heard prostitutes are following him too. Come on, mothers-in-laws. What would you say to your daughter who was married to Peter? We know Peter was married. I know Catholic Church tells us, no, he wasn't. He was. He was married. He had a wife and a mother-in-law. And later, his wife became his partner in ministry. We know that from history about Peter. And so Peter was worried what was going on at home. And Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Judas was really worried, I believe. He was. Jesus, our box is getting emptier. I like to keep our money over here at this level. And now it's over here. You better preach more about money. Jesus, you're not talking about money enough. Come on, Jesus, say something about money. How are we going to eat? Where am I going to buy food? Right? And so they were constantly worrying and constantly bickering. And Jesus, I think he first spoke it to his disciples. I think the lesson was for his disciples. You think if you have Jesus, you have no worry. No, they had Jesus and they had worry. Never thought about it like that. You think they're saints. They worried. Peter always, even after Jesus already resurrected, went to heaven, Peter always worried about what people think about him. Right? Galatians chapter 2, Paul rebukes him in front of everybody. He says, hey, you worry way too much about what the Jews think about you. And we're with Gentiles, so stop worrying. Amen. Amen. So Jesus says, do not worry. Now, for us, for them, what did they worry a lot about? What are we going to eat and what are we going to drink? They lived in a desert area. So water was kind of like, they were a hand-to-mouth type of society. Meaning they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have Walmart, right? It has to be, you go get it today and you cook it today. You couldn't store it for too long. So guess what they worried about? Food and water. Now, we don't worry about that. But place in those, instead of that, place your worry. Your bills, put your bills, or enough clothes to wear. So they worried about the clothes to wear. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothes? Disciples worried way too much, just like you and me.
Don't worry. Listen to this. That is why I tell you not to worry. Media team for next service, let's make that bold as well. Not to worry. Or if you could do it now, that would be great too. So we can look at it. Not to worry. It's a command. Don't worry is a command. You know, if Jesus was here today, he would say, don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about your mortgage. Don't worry about if you get married. Don't worry if people love you or respect you. Don't worry about your job or finding a new job or finding a better job or if you'll ever find a good job that you think you want. Don't worry about your prodigal son and daughter. Now, you should be concerned. You should pray, but don't worry. Amen. Don't worry as a Christian if you will be able to fulfill your purpose. Don't we as Christian worry about that a lot? Am I going to fulfill my purpose? What's my purpose, Pastor? What's my purpose? Don't worry. Now, I will tell you, your purpose starts with one step. Don't even worry what your purpose is. You know, God never told me when I was a child that I'm going to be a pastor. He just led me with small steps to where I have to be. So take small steps and you will get to where you want to be. If you want to write music, start doing it today. Write a verse or a chorus. And find somebody who writes the opposite. Some people love writing choruses. Like Pastor Andre, he's awesome. He'll write a good chorus. Then Eli writes a good verse, you know. And then they can put that together. Sometimes you're going to have to work with somebody else. But what I'm saying is, we as Christians worry about our purpose. God says, don't worry about your purpose. I got it. So Jesus. What are you saying that I shouldn't worry about what my mortgage? Forget about that. Live a careless life. That's not what he's saying, guys. He's not saying that you should stop being concerned. That's not his point. What Jesus is saying is that you are not in control of tomorrow. If you can't do it today, don't worry about it for tomorrow. That's what he's saying. You didn't get it. What he's saying is if what you worry about is 3 months from now, well, can you do anything about it? If you can do something about today, then do it. But otherwise, get it out of your head and go laugh a little. Amen. How do I get it out of my head? I realized in my life there's things that make me worry. If I turn on talk radio and listen to it for a couple of hours, eventually I'll be worried. I come home and something bad is going to happen. Talk radio, right? Or for some of you, when your worry kicks in, you know, it's a trigger. It triggers you. You go on Facebook and you start checking and you go, and you're like waiting for something, for somebody to say something so bad or something so negative, and you're waiting for it and it's not there. But you already wound yourself up. How do you say that? You made yourself worried. So what is making you worried? Put it away. What? Put it away. So what Jesus says, you're not in control of tomorrow. So why worry about tomorrow? Plus, you don't have the power to change tomorrow. So why worry about tomorrow? Ultimately, you're not in control. Ultimately, this world is not a secure world. Listen, it's not a secure world. Things are going to happen. And guess what? You'll survive. And God will make it happen for you. Amen. Now, three questions you should ask yourself about worry. I'm going to go quick here and I'm going to end here with three questions you should ask about your worry. Is it a real warning of some kind? Is my worry, ask your worry, is it a real warning of some kind? For example, you're worried about your health, okay? Is it real? I'm getting a breast cancer. Well, I actually had a lady who a long time ago in the beginning of my ministry came and says, I have a lump. She's like, almost feel it. I'm like, no. True story. And she went to the doctor, and it wasn't a lump. It was just a lump of fat. Yeah, a blob of fat. Yeah, that's what they told her. And guess what? She was worried about it. And you know, some super spiritual people, they don't go to the hospital to find out today that, you know, that's not a breast cancer. But they're like, if I go, they'll tell me I can't live with that. So they live years sometimes praying and bothering every pastor in town
This pastor prayed, nothing happened. This pastor prayed. It's just a lump of tissue. It's not cancer. But you were living in fear for years. Now, so what I'm saying is ask yourself a question. Is it a real warning of some kind? Now, it could be a real warning. You could be sensing something. Well, go and check yourself. That's why we have doctors. Jesus did not say, don't go to the doctors. He says, sick people have a need of a doctor, not a healed one. So if you're sick, who created doctors? Who gave them the ability to heal and to diagnose? God. Who gave them the wisdom? Everything we have comes from God. In Him we live, move, and have our being. So God is in doctors. Go see a doctor. Go see a doctor. Is it a real? Ask yourself a question about your worry. Is it a real warning of some kind? For example, about 7-8 years ago, I was running a business full time and a small business, just me and like two other guys, and God began to talk to me about my paperwork. I loved climbing trees, doing landscaping, and doing all that stuff. You know, I love the action of the business. I love going and talking with people and collecting the check after I'm done, you know, and people are happy. I love that. But paperwork? Oh, no. And I thought I'd marry a wife and she would do it, but she ended up being a creative. And if you know anything about creatives, they don't do good paperwork. So I realized, okay, you know. And so God began to talk to me. You give me a warning. I started worrying. And I prayed and I prayed. And God says, get your paper in order. Get your papers in order. Get everything in order. So finally I said, fine, God, I'll do it. In the next couple of years, I got everything in order. I got organized. Got all of that. After I got organized, a year passed or two, I get a letter from IRS. You're getting audited. I freaked out, of course. As you would too. I thought I was, that's it, I'm going to jail and everything. Well, they checked my paperwork and there was no problems with it. So guess what? Today, I'm not afraid of IRS. I'm not worried about IRS. I've been checked by them already. It's a good feeling to be checked and found not wanting. God is good. Amen? But it was a real warning. What if I ignored it? What are you ignoring? What is a real warning that your spirit is telling you? God through your spirit is telling you. You should pay attention. But if it's about, you know, something you can't control, or it's an emotion that you don't even know what you're worried about, fight it. Declare war against worry. Declare war against your own worry. Amen. Number two, is it a call to action? Is God telling you to do something? So number one, is it a warning? Is it a call to action? Is it time for you to go and talk to the person you're worried about that you've been having kind of a conflict with? Is God telling you, hey, why are you worrying about it? Go talk to them. And have you realized that when we talk to them, usually it's not like nearly as bad as it was in our head. We're chronic. I'm telling you, in our head, we're chronic warriors. And we think that it's going to be so bad. But you go talk to the person and it was like, oh, I thought you thought this and I thought you thought that. And then you leave and you're like, a weight has been, baggage fell off my shoulders. Baggage. What are you afraid of? See, worry tells us what the worst thing that could happen. God says, no, I'm in control. I'm a good God and everything is going to be okay. All things are going to work together for your good. So why are you worrying about it? I'm preaching. Oh, and I know you're quiet. Some people tell me, Pastor, when we're quiet, we're like really learning. So I'm like, okay. Okay, everybody's learning. So good. Number three, ask yourself this question. Is it a call to change? Maybe the reason you're worried because you need to change your lifestyle. Maybe you need to worry what you eat, what you drink.
Maybe you need to change relationships. The reason you worry, because you have some negative relationships in your life. Maybe you have to change a job. Maybe your job is a cause of your stress, and maybe you need to move environments. Now, don't quit a job before you get a new job. Man, you want women to respect you, your wives to respect you, don't quit a job before you find a better one. Okay? Because a lot of men are like, man, I'm done. Pastor said I'm quitting. When wife calls me, not coming to your church anymore. Didn't. So giving you a warning, find a better job before you quit. Is it time to change your behavior, maybe? Maybe it's time to change your behavior. Maybe you are worried because there's sin in your life and you have no peace. Maybe something is not right in your life and you gotta get it right. I don't know what it is for you guys. I don't know what it is. But ask yourself those three questions. But I know this one thing. God says, do not worry, O you of little faith. Believe that He's in control. Believe that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. You know what He said? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And no tongue that rises up against you, people talking bad about you, you will condemn them in court. They rise trying to condemn you, but guess what? At the end, you condemn them. That is the inheritance of the servants of the living God. And that's the promise that I'm standing on. That's the promise that I'm standing on.